and welcome to PBS Western Reserve's City-Centric podcast series. Hello there, my name's Jeff Good, and this podcast series serves as a companion to our City-Centric TV series, where we take kind of a closer look at the community members that are centric or central to the pulse of each of our featured city. Community members like for instance, the entrepreneur, the entertainer, the revitalizer, the politician, the humanitarian, and even the future we look at and featured in each of the City-Centric episodes that are appearing weekly exclusively on PBS Western Reserve all through this fall. The City-Centric podcast series takes kind of a deeper dive with each of our featured City-Centric community members, where we spend some time and look even further into what makes them city-centric and really what makes their city centric to them. Today's guest I'm just so pleased to have with me is Kent humanitarian Candace Curtis. Candace Curtis is the executive director of the Ben Curtis Family Foundation, which is dedicated to community empowerment and family support. Both she and her husband Ben are accomplished golfers on Kent State's men's and women's team back during their university years, and together they founded this impactful organization driven by a heartfelt mission to combat food insecurity in their hometown of Kent. Residing in Kent with her husband and two children, her unique perspective as a parent with children attending schools served by the foundation highlights the crucial need for consistent food support through the school year as well as into the summer. At the helm of BCFF, Candace adeptly manages the strategy, the marketing, event planning, and ensuring that the foundation's vision extends to the communities it serves, as well as the neighboring areas. She recognizes that raising awareness is pivotal for garnering support, seizing every opportunity to engage with those willing to contribute to the cause. That's very long-winded, but welcome, Candace Curtis.
Thank you.
I really had a chance to meet you virtually through the series, and obviously I just got done reading your bio, and you've done so many things, but I know I've probably missed some things along the way. So take an opportunity to kind of, with our listeners, talk a little bit more about you and things we may have missed.
Yeah. So, as you said before, my husband, Ben, played golf. We met at the university, and he played golf for a living, on the PGA Tour for 15 years. And we have our two children, Liam and Addie. They're junior and sophomore. So we're entering those teenage years. But yeah, so we've we lived on the road, you know, for a long time. And then I managed that. And then in about 2012, Liam started school, and we were going to be home more. I was anyway. It was kind of that next chapter. And so then we kind of were like, Ben and I both, what do we feel passionate about? We had a little nest egg. What do we feel passionate about? And that's kind of where we started. And we found out that food insecurity was a problem in our hometown of Kent. So that's kind of, I think that's
wonderful.
And I'm not that interested.
Wonderful. So I already warned you about this ahead of time. I do this with every guest. So you didn't give me too much information. So you've got some areas there that you can. So I need for you to give me two truths and a lie about you. And then I'll warn you ahead of time. I've been pretty successful so far, but oftentimes the people that I see their move. I know about. So give me two truths and a lie so you can start.
Oh my gosh.
Just mix it all up.
Mix it all up. Okay. Oh, what do I love being pregnant. I love beets. And I hate shopping.
Well, little do we realize that earlier on we were discussing local retail establishments. So I'm going to guess that you don't hate shopping.
No, I don't.
we'll be fine here. So I want it. So you do like shopping?
I do love shopping.
Okay, so that's your
well, line. Only bargain shopping.
I gotcha.
Yes.
So for our listeners, take an opportunity or take us through the Ben Curtis Family Foundation. You know, what is that mission? And then who is the primary audience? I know we talk a little bit about it, but what's really the, you know, your passion, your mission, and then that audience that you serve?
I think so. The mission is to help children overcome disadvantages in their life and become their own best champions. And so we kind of I don't want to say vague, but I think eventually right now it's food insecure children as our main audience. And we work very closely with the schools to make sure that every child that needs a birdie bag or needs food at home gets it. But I think over time that could develop into something more, because as you're in, you know, working closely with the schools, you know, there are more needs that are not being met with these children. And so, you know, one day if the funding allows, you know how that goes. I think it could go into us possibly meeting more of those needs. I mean, even now, if a school reached out and said, we need backpacks, we'll try to, you know, either we get them or we know a donor that might, you know, have some, and we'll try to fulfill different needs. It's just not as consistent.
I have to say, I'm just so impressed with the great work. I'm being so connected in the public world, but just with what you do. So tell our listeners what really inspired you. I mean, you talk a little bit about, hey, you wanted to go to the next level and what you wanted to do next, but what really inspired you to start the foundation, and then what continues to motivate you?
Well, I think, so for Ben and I when, you know, you become a parent, it changes your perspective on a lot of stuff. And we've traveled everywhere, we've traveled the world. And I think when we watched this special, it kind of opened our eyes to, like, one, how does this child feel, right? I mean, it was a middle-class family. I think that's what did it. It was, you wouldn't have known it looking at the family. And when, I wish I could find the special, honestly, and go back and rewatch it. But I think we saw that, and it was one, like, I cannot believe that's happening and how that child must feel. But two, how does that feel as a parent to not be able to provide such a basic need for your children that shouldn't be an issue? No one in this country, there's so much wealth in this country that no one should be, you know, fighting for this basic need or not knowing where their next meal is coming from. So I think that's what was the passion to get it started. And then finding out in Kent at the time, I think it was 43% of kids were on a free or reduced lunch at Holden Elementary, which is down, you know, closer to 76, they were 80%. 80% of the kids in the school were on a free or reduced lunch. And so, you know, you see that and you go, okay, so that's where we started. And I think it was like 135 bags we packed. But then now as we're growing, you get in the schools. So the driving factor is you're in these districts and you know there's still more need that to be met. We had, I think, three schools reach out just in the past year that we had to say, no, like, we can't onboard you right now just from funding. So it's everywhere. And then that's the driving force, I think, for us, for all of us at BCFF, is that there's more need that, I mean, we're just like scratching the surface.
You use the term food insecurity, and I know I had to kind of walk my way through the your interview on the series. And then so for our listeners that aren't quite aware, when we talk about food insecurity, what does that all entail?
So we, like, food insecurity is, they don't know, it's irregularity or not always having food in the home. And so a lot of what we've learned as we're growing is that, you know, many families are choosing between paying a bill, paying their rent, you know, versus putting food on the table. So it doesn't always mean, you know, it's not just that you may have food certain times of the month. It's just very much, you don't know if, you know, food is going to be available.
We're listening to PBS Western Reserve's city-centric podcast series, the city-centric television series. Once again, it's just not about the city, but more about the people that are central, or as we reference in the show, centric to that particular city. TV series focuses on folks like the revitalizer, the entertainer, the entrepreneur, the politician, folks like Candace, the humanitarian, even the future of each community member can claim makes them city-centric. City-centric podcast series, as we're doing now, we're taking a deeper dive with our featured city-centric community members, and we look even further into what really makes them city-centric and, quite honestly, what makes their city-centric to them. So be sure to catch all of the City-Centric Season 1, appearing exclusively on PBS Western Reserve throughout the fall. And we're so pleased once again to be talking to Candace Curtis, Kent community member, humanitarian, and we're really finding what makes Candace Kent city-centric. So I'll continue my accolades to you, but I can't say enough about the great work the Ben Curtis Family Foundation has done and continues to do. And it seems like that mission of providing food to the families has stayed the same. And you touched on it just a bit ago, but your service area over the years has increased. So any thoughts, you kind of talked about a little bit, any thoughts to an expansion, not so much of your service area, but maybe the mission a little bit? I mean, you touched on a little bit in the series, and then you just touched on it a bit ago.
I do. I would love to do something where maybe it's mentoring or it's some sort of after school where you can tie the food in, but you're kind of changing, like, a life, so to speak, right? You can, and you build relationships. I'm big on relationships, and I think it's so important. And I think something like that, I don't know what that looks like, or if it's even us, or you find organizations that are already doing that and you partner, I'm not sure. But I think one day we would like to do something just a little more that changes the course of a child's life.
It certainly sounds like you're not only providing the food and helping pull down that food insecurity, but then there's the education process to it too. And that sounds like, so when you think back in those days, many moons ago, when we talked earlier about, you know, you're just kind of going to that next stage of your life and you were putting this foundation together. And so now we go back in the Wayback Machine. And what would you do if you had to do something differently? Thinking back on it now, would you have done anything differently?
No.
Okay.
No, that's easy.
A simple question.
No, it's easy. No, I think we've learned so much with every step of the way we've learned so much. And I think by doing it very slowly, we're 10 years this year, but I think by doing it slowly and growing slowly, we learned so much about how schools work. Like, if you're not in a school building, it's a totally different world than running a business, right? And so learning all of those kind of, I don't know, nuances or just how things operate, I wouldn't change a thing. And our volunteers, we have a huge base of volunteers that come every week and they pack with us, and just even them get coming along and learning and growing and picking their brains. Okay, how can we run our process different when we pack bags? Or, you know, what would you do differently? Do you think this is working? So it's very much, it's been not just us, it's a whole community effort that's really gotten us to where we are.
You talk about that volunteer side, you wouldn't do anything different. So I'm a listener out there right now thinking, boy, I saw Candace on that series. I want to really focus on establishing my own kind of service foundation, you know. So you've talked about any other advice you would give to someone as they're beginning that process?
Oh, just to look, come see us. We'll come be part of the family. We actually listen to, like, it's a 70s, usually a 70s playlist while we pack. So it's pretty fun. But it's really neat to see our volunteers. It's created its own community within our organization. Everyone knows each other. And, like, we had a lady one time, she was going on her morning walk and stopped in. And she was like, how do I, you know, sign up for to help pack bags? And I'm like, you can just jump in the line now. We threw her on. I don't even know if she wanted to stay, but she did. And then she's come back since. So I think it's just if you want to you're doing a lot of good and you're helping local children. It goes right into the hands, you know, of the kids we serve, and then you're having fun in the process, which we're all about, having fun. We don't want to do it if it's, we can't make it fun.
Right. Well, so you've told one story about the poor lady that came in off the street, and next thing you know, she's a volunteer and she keeps coming back. But think about some of the stories you might have that come back to you about the impact that you've made. Can you think of any, you know, stories about, you know, a child you that may have reached out to family or?
So we have, well, we do a Christmas event. This, it's called A Very Merry Dinner. And so we're actually starting that. Christmas has started for us. So that's something we do where, you know, a child and then every sibling in the family fills out a wish list and all the gifts. There's giving trees out in the community. You know, people shop for the gifts. We wrap everything. And then we send the gifts home with the families. They drive through and pick them up. And then they get a Christmas meal as well with turkey and then all the sides for Christmas Day. And so that event used to be a dinner and we had the families come in. And I remember one of the, it was a mom or a great, I think it was the mom and the grandma was there. They brought the whole family to dinner and they just couldn't thank us enough for that experience. Like going out to dinner was a huge like thing for their family. And they got pictures with Santa and cookies with Mrs. Claus. But I think she was almost in tears just saying, thank you so much for providing this experience for our, you know, our family. And, you know, and then another small thing from that event was that one of the kids didn't know where the silverware was because it was wrapped in a linen napkin and just, they didn't know that. I mean, something that simple that you sit down, you go out to dinner, you know, I don't know. It just, those little things we'd given a 7-year-old his first toothbrush back. This was like when we first started and the nurse had to show him how to use to brush his teeth. So things like that, that you take for granted those, I don't know, everyday basic kind of things. And I think it just shows you that it's definitely, you know, I think it just impacts the entire and teachers in their classrooms, the providing this food, frees up money from their classroom. So they, you know, cause they provide snacks, some, you know, and so this way the kids have snacks to bring into school, which, so it's kind of, there's a lot of facets, the impact of a birdie bag makes. And so.
If you're looking in the crystal ball, not the magic eight ball, but the crystal ball of the city of Kent, what do you see as the future of, what are you seeing as the future of Kent right now?
I mean, I've been here my whole life. I think it'll continue to not take care of, but it's very much a community that takes care of each other and that's never changed. And I think looking in my crystal ball, I think it'll be that way just because you saw on that series, you have so many great people in the community. And that's just showing a little bit of it. There's a lot of people that they care about each other. They care about this community. And I think that's what makes Kent so special.
It's often hard when you put together a series and you focus, you know, you're always going to leave someone or something out, you know, because, you know, we could have done on any of these, we could have done a 4 to 5 hour,
right?
You know, so that's where it gets hard. But so my final question, I always ask this of everybody. So Candace Curtis, Kent Humanitarian, think about this for a minute. What qualities, characteristics, personalities, or a combination of all of those makes you city-centric?
I would say team player, and I'm pretty passionate about what we're doing. And passionate about helping as many kids as we can. I think people, families too. But yeah, I would say I think we should all work together and that's what gets everything done. Right. And I think when you're in this space of nonprofit world, you watch the news, you can see, you think there's so much bad and negativity, but when you work in the nonprofit space every week, we watch people you see the good and the greatness in people. So I think if that's what we can be as an organization to bring a community together to get, you know, food into the hands of these kids, I would say that's it.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And being our guest on the City Centric podcast series. So for the folks listening along, you've all been listening to PBS Western Reserve's City Centric podcast series. I'm Jeff Good, and PBS Western Reserve's city-centric television series is not just about the city, but more about the people that are central, or as we use in the series, centric to that particular city. The TV series is premiering exclusively throughout the fall on PBS Western Reserve. Really focuses on folks like the revitalizer, the entertainer, the entrepreneur, the politician, folks like Candace, the humanitarian, and even the future that each community member can claim really makes them city-centric. The City-Centric podcast series, as you heard, takes kind of a deeper dive with each of our city-centric featured guests, looking even further into what makes them city-centric, but quite honestly, what really makes their city-centric to them? Well, you know what? What makes a community member city-centric? Well, I'll tell you what, join us next time as we continue the conversation with those featured community members on PBS Western Reserve's City-Centric series, and make sure to check out the City-Centric series premiering exclusively throughout the fall on PBS Western Reserve.